The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Stephen Moore is with me. Stephen is the founder of Out of Blue Training, and he spent 20 years on Garda Síochána. Stephen, you're welcome to the show. It's kind of an opportune time to speak to you because on Thursday we were down in New Ross for the Kennedy Summer School, and we were kind of having a discussion amongst a few people about crime and antisocial behaviour. And in the context of that, a psychologist who works in the Midlands prison said that quite a few Gardaí have transferred over, as it were, left the guards and signed up with the prison service, which is not necessarily a trend you would have seen to the same degree maybe a few years ago. How would you describe the morale in general in the force that you left last November?
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for having me on, Kieran. I suppose when I left last November, I hadn't seen morale that low ever before in my 20-year service within An Garda Síochána, you know. And you know, there's a number of reasons for that. We'll probably discuss a few, but there was definitely, you know, the biggest aspect of it was lack of boots on the ground. So, you know, where I was stationed here in the B in Pier Street in Dublin City, you know, the busiest district within the country. You know, when I first joined, we would have had two Garda stations. We had Harcourt Terrace and we had Pier Street Garda Station. So in any working unit, in any busy, say, Friday, Saturday evening, you could have over 50 guards working on the beat in the city. Then if you fast forward to when I left, you know, Harcourt Terrace since closed and Pier Street on a working unit was down at that stage to 23. So that's a massive cut. That's more than 50%. Mm. So you know, it just meant, you know, guards on the ground doubling up on work, you know, that they'd previously done. There was previously numbers to assist and help them. More work, more paperwork, more court, less time off. So in any job, you could tell that morale is going to be affected by those situations.
And when would you say, I was going to say, when did the rot set in? Maybe that's overstating the case. But is there a point in time you would look at and say, you know, that's when things began to turn the wrong direction?
Well, for me, I suppose, and as personal opinion, it was probably around the time of the recession, you know. So, you know, finances were hit, recruitment within An Garda Síochána was affected, you know, and we didn't see any movement in stations. So normally, you know, in good times, people who are, you know, from the country come up to the city, maybe up to Dublin to work, but they'd be transferred maybe back closer to their home spot within, you know, a number of years. But with a kind of a stop on recruitment, you know, that extended, you know, 2, 3, 4 extra years, no movement. People who were junior members on units were still junior members on units 5, 6 years after. And that wouldn't happen in the past. There was always movement. Mm. So again, you know, with that lack of opportunity, lack of movement, that kind of breeds, you know, within a kind of system, within the guards, kind of breeds a kind of, you know, unsatisfactory kind of work conditions, and then morale kind of gets hit with that as well.
Mm. What impact did COVID have one way or the other?
Well, for me, I would think COVID had a very positive impact.
Okay.
for members of An Garda Síochána. It kind of allowed members of An Garda Síochána to go back to what they do well, which was become part of their communities. So, you know, it was widely reported that, you know, guards up and down the country really put their shoulders to the wheel, you know, really pushed on, helped elderly people in their houses, picked up, you know, groceries in shops, picked up prescriptions in pharmacies, just to assist their community.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we always go back to this. I always go back to this. The formation of An Garda Síochána, we're a community-based police force. So we do our best work when we are based within the community, not sitting behind desks doing paperwork.
The reason I asked about COVID is because I think in a lot of people's minds, COVID was this watermark moment. And a lot of people would think that the sense they have, this feeling that the streets are a little less safe, a little less welcoming, is a post-COVID thing.
Yeah, definitely post-COVID. Like, you know, during the initial part of COVID, I think, you know, there was that fear within communities of staying indoors.
Yeah.
You know, probably by the second lockdown or the third lockdown, you know, that had eased and people were creeping out again. You know, so, you know, during COVID, the satisfaction rate of An Garda Síochána went up to over 90%.
Yeah.
Like, that is unheard of in Western police forces or services. So there was huge respect out there initially. I suppose then when the government kind of moves the markers and the police have to follow behind in kind of doing jobs that, you know, maybe the public didn't expect to see guards doing, you know, i.e. will be checking bars to see if they're serving food, you know, in relation to that. Maybe we stepped away from what Guard Síochána was fantastic at doing, and that again is helping community.
Yeah,
you know, being there amongst
the
community.
So less community policing in the traditional sense, and more kind of enforcing the COVID rules.
Exactly,
which was less less popular. We'll put it that way.
Oh no, this 100%. You know, but you know the amount of thanks that guards would have got from neighbours, from the elderly, from family members who couldn't visit elderly. You know, the guards really stepped in. You know, and we didn't, you know, our rosters changed overnight. Nobody complained. You know, we just basically got on with it.
Yeah.
Like me, we had a discussion at home that, you know, more than likely I was going to get COVID because you're working with people or, you know, you're arresting people and so forth. And I think every guard kind of thought that.
Yeah.
You know, but we still showed up for work. We still went in and you know, we did our duty.
And how now then would you describe the relationship that exists, or, you know, last November when you left the force, the relationship between rank and file Gardaí and kind of senior management?
I would say that relationship needs to be worked on.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I suppose I left after 20 years as a member of An Garda Síochána. I had achieved a lot within, you know, An Garda Síochána, and I was a very proud member of the police service. You know, you could kind of see more bureaucracy creeping in. So where back in the day we might have had to, you know, cross one T and dot one I, all of a sudden with paperwork, you were doing it five or six times. You were doubling up on jobs. You were sitting behind a desk, you know, more time than being out on the beat, being out amongst your community where you want to be, you know, to help the people you want to help. So it kind of, I suppose, the oversight within An Garda Síochána, it grew, you know, and 100%, obviously, every police force or service needs oversight. But maybe we have to look here and do we have too much? Is there too much oversight? Is it stopping guards performing the duty that members of the public, you know, look for, or not just look for, but deserve?
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that then. What do you suspect the public is looking for from An Garda Síochána? Have we had that conversation?
I would love to have a conversation in relation. We've never had a conversation in this country. What type of police force or service do the people want? You know, even me, I'm kind of conflicted in calling it a service or a force. You know, when we renamed the police force over here, police service, did we take away maybe some of the respect that was there for guards? You probably remember, like I remember, back in the day, I wouldn't give cheek to a guard. I respected, you know, what they told me to do. I listened to what they would have said, you know, and maybe today it might be a societal thing that we've lost that respect, possibly for guards, possibly for firefighters, for all the kind of frontline workers.
Mm.
You know, is that respect still there? And as society moves on, you know, their police service has to move with them. But I would love to kind of open a debate in relation to what type of police service do people want? Do they want a police service? You know, sometimes you see an event or you see a protest and half the people say they're going in too heavy-handed. Half the people say they're not going in heavy-handed enough. So it kind of leaves the guards in a kind of strange position is, well, who has the guards back? And that is kind of breeding down to the morale within the boots on the ground. Is if you don't have a feeling that somebody has your back, has your support, you know, are you going to go above and beyond, you know, your duty in any given time? Because are you going to have to sit down and answer questions to why you did this? Are you going to be suspended until investigations are done? So, you know, back in the day, guards always had that discretion. And I think that's been kind of ebbed at for the last number of years as well. So maybe discretion has been taken away from guards, where in previous years, you know, the public expects the guards maybe to show a little bit of discretion.
Yeah.
And it's not always to the letter of the law, but discretion has to be able to creep in.
I guess what prompted maybe the erosion of that discretion, though, was partly of the guards' own making. Is that fair? You know, people will remember penalty points, for example, and the pull system. And if you knew the right person, you could disappear yourself from that system.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, listen, of course. There has been mistakes made in the past, and, you know, I definitely wouldn't hide away from them. But, you know, simple examples, like if you have a pregnant lady getting a lift to hospital in the car and the husband's on the phone trying to sort out children being minded by grandparents and so forth.
Yeah.
But the letter of the law, you know, they're committing a crime. They're on the phone, mobile phone, in a car. So do you want to see them getting a ticket for that? Or do you want to see the guard turning around and saying, hang on, I'll give you an escort to hospital and we'll sort that out for you?
Yeah.
You know, so that question would not have come up 20 years ago. You know, straight away the guard would have given an escort straight away to hospital.
And whereas now the individual guards, you're saying, kind of on the ground, questions himself or herself and thinks, maybe I'm really meant to give it to, if I don't give a ticket here, is this going to blow back on me?
Oh, definitely. Like, you have to, there's consequences to your actions, you know, and that is something, as you said, you know, what's kind of crept in, that has crept in. You know, you're always protecting your own career, or, you know, particularly upper management. It just seems that they're protecting themselves instead of protecting, you know, the men and women on the ground.
And how do you see that, you know, this the environment then manifesting, say, in your line of work now, with Gardaí leaving the force? Like, you know, what are the stories that they're telling you? What are the reasons they give when you say, why are you looking for a new job?
I suppose since I set up Out of the Blue, which was last November, I've probably taken maybe 200-300 personal phone calls of people looking to leave, you know, and each story is personal. Each story is different.
Mm.
But there is a few kind of themes running out. It's lack of support. It's also kind of, you know, lack of that work-life harmony. So, again, I'd like to see a more empathetic understanding. So, for example, if there's a guard that has sick parents at home or has a sick child at home, you know, you need that little bit of leeway to give them that flexibility. But because there's no numbers on the ground, you know, sergeants or management finds it hard to give them that flexibility. So that's kind of leading to individual members questioning whether they can stay as a member of an Garda Síochána Síochána. Is their family life, is their at home more important?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of theme, you know. Other kind of themes are, yeah, I get a lot. And I get a lot of people with 15 to 20 years service kind of saying the job has changed so much. It's not the job that it was when I joined. And I want to get out.
Okay.
You know, so I kind of hear, as I said, I hear different stories, but there's definitely themes running through them.
It strikes me that, like, quite a few of those issues, before you can even begin to solve them, you just have to solve the kind of recruitment and retention pick. You know, you have to get enough bodies in uniform, don't you?
And, like, what I say is, like, I don't believe we have a recruitment retention crisis here. Okay. If you look across to England, I think they have a recruitment and retention crisis. My fear will be that crisis coming over here, and you can start seeing the numbers, you know, developing.
Yeah.
So, like, the numbers are starting to come in for this year. So for the next 3 years, they're going to be over 100 people leaving for the first time ever. I'm a big believer that the best recruiters of an Garda Síochána Síochána is the guards themselves. It always has been.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody's looking to join the guard, the Garda Síochána Síochána, they'll call into a local guard, ask them questions, you know, whether it's family, friends, somebody you play football with, what's the guards like to work for? And I think you're seeing that there's not many guards these days saying it's a fantastic job, come and join us.
Yeah.
You know, so you have kind of the other end of that, you know, a fortune being spent on really good recruitment campaigns. In the past, that wasn't necessary, because the guards themselves were always the best recruiters.
That's interesting. Listen, Stephen, thanks a million for coming in to us. Stephen Moore is the founder of Out of Blue Training.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.